Welcome back to Pods and Rec, episode 10, part 2. I'm Stephanie.
I'm Tammy.
Now I'm Brad.
Welcome.
Welcome. Before we start the episode, we just wanted to give a quick little shout out to our friend Guillermo, who gave us some love on Twitter. It was very much appreciated.
Aw, thanks for the love, Guillermo.
What a nice guy.
So sweet.
What a nice guy.
Stand Good up. Guy Guillermo over here.
Mm-hmm. He's like the only one of our friends that I know that uses Twitter anymore, except for Tyler.
Ooh. People use it.
I think a majority of people read Twitter. Then, like, I know people that are always just like, I just read Twitter. Yeah. I don't, like, post on Twitter. Just like you have those groups of friends that are just like, I just look at stuff on Instagram. I don't, like, post anything.
I came up with a really good tweet that I posted, and it was actually on Pods and Rec Twitter, so I hope you don't mind, because it was more of, like, a personal saying, is I was at a Mexican restaurant, and I saw this weird commercial where it was for Baybel cheese, and the little cheese, it's the little round ones that are in the red wax
paper. I think we have some in our fridge, actually.
The Baybel.
They're delicious. Yeah. They are. But the little Baybels are, like, hopping around, and they have anthropomorphic features and stuff, and then the kid just takes one and he like chomps into it, and I was like, what the fuck? What is going on with that? So I posted a little tweet about it's weird when you give food anthropomorphic features and then kids eat them.
Well, actually, about the baby, they have the weirdest fucking commercials, because there's another one that really creeps me out it's the guy's like a bouncer for a lunchbox, and he was just like, yeah, come on in, Apple. And he's like, whoa, hold back, potato chips. And then the kid like eats one. He's like, giving him the creamy goodness. I'm like, don't say that to a little kid. Gross. So Baybel, step your game up. Yeah. For real.
Yeah.
Maybe just stick to like radio ads or something. Like that. Don't go to the TV spots.
No, they still might say creamy goodness on the radio.
Creamy goodness.
Their whole marketing department hates us right now. Baybel's like, fuck you.
Yeah.
This episode is not sponsored by Baybel. Baybel, whatever their name is.
Although you do have delicious cheese.
Yeah, delicious cheese. Very good.
Yeah.
Yep. I just. Things you should learn, avoid creamy goodness, especially to little kids. Yeah. And
brought it up again.
And Pop-Tarts does that too, except it's animated. It's not like, you know, like a little face.
Do they also give the Pop-Tarts a face in little like cans?
They do. Ooh. Have you seen the Pop-Tarts commercial where they're weird. Just like trying to trap them and then just like murder them?
It's very uncomfortable for me.
Yeah.
I'm kind of hungry now, though. Anyways, enjoy the rest of this episode where we sit down and talk to Andy about some more Parks and Rec.
Ooh. Bum, 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 na, na.
Season 2, Episode 14, Leslie's House. It aired January 21st, 2010. Got that one right?
I'm gonna go now.
This one...
Very hostile in here.
The synopsis is, did Leslie abuse her power by bringing in community center teachers to her house to help throw a dinner party to impress her new suitor? This one's a question mark.
I don't know.
My first comment was, Justin is too perfect, with two in quotation marks. I don't know if that's grammatically correct, but I was like, he's a little too perfect.
Yeah. He's definitely a one-upper, and this is the first episode that you see this.
Yeah.
That he always has an anecdote that is just by far better than the story that you're telling him.
Mm-hmm. Mark exposes that well, really.
Yes.
Yeah.
When he says, what was it he said? It was like, last time I saw Justin, he told me he, you know, swam with the dolphins in Zimbabwe or something. And he's like, and that was after I told him sometimes I like to swim laps at the Y. And that basically, like, tells you everything you need to know about Justin, which is that he is, like you said, he's a green mushroom. He's a one-upper.
He's full of big fish stories. That's all he is.
And that's kind of, like, the whole reason for this episode is that he takes Leslie on such fantastic dates, you know, like, private cocktails in the aquarium in Indianapolis, that she feels so pressured to have a perfect dinner party to impress him. And that's what the episode kind of centers around. Yeah. We get to see Leslie's house, which...
Who knew she'd be a hoarder?
That makes perfect sense in a way, though. Yeah. Like, to me, I don't know. Like,
yeah, her house is exactly...
I for sure when I watched...
Her house is exactly what her mind would look like if you just opened it up.
No. You gotta think, somebody who makes as many binders as she does, and it's already, like, a thing in the show at this point, you gotta have some crazy, like, tendencies.
She's also got, like, super old lady, like, furniture and fixtures, too. It's definitely not the design... aesthetic that I figured that she would have.
Well and especially just because, like, seeing her office, I would imagine her office also kind of be like that, too.
But it's kind of like, how much time does she spend at home, you know? Like, she's always working or always off doing work things.
Yeah. That's what I was going to point out, is that she probably just doesn't really care. Maybe it's a lot of hand-me-downs and stuff that, you know, she's had forever just because she is always working, and that's where her mind is.
Yeah. So. Makes her sound like a sad person, but, like, she's so happy, you know?
But that leads to her bringing in a, what was it, the learning annex teachers to help her set up her home as a beautiful and exotic locale for her dinner party.
It's kind of the first time in the series that we see them deal with the recreation side of their department, you know? It's called Parks and Recreation, but for the most part, you just hear them talk about parks, mainly parks, and then you're like, oh, wow, they actually do deal with recreation. Oh, here we go.
That's true. There's a weird... You guys like to talk about Leslie Knope being a racist for some reason.
We do have a segment.
I mean, it just happens.
Yeah. You guys want to do it?
Yeah.
Go right into it.
Leslie Knope's racist corner. I don't know what that was.
It worked.
I like the country twang you put on. It was very nice.
It was a little Underwoody.
A little Everwoody.
Frank Underwoody.
Oh, God. <It's>
very nice.
All right. So, did you have a comment about
Leslie? I'm sure you guys have it covered. It's your segment.
Yeah.
You set us up to fail in our own segment.
I'll just throw it out there that she says that Tom should be there because he's from an exotic land.
The most exotic land.
And he says, South Carolina?
And she laughs.
Yeah. She's like, come on.
I still feel like she thinks he's joking when he says that. She's probably like, you're still from Libya.
Tie-in with Aziz Ansari's real life, too.
Yeah.
Because he's actually from South
Carolina.
Pretty
famous, like, pretty much everybody knows that. Yeah, he's a South Carolinian by birth.
South Carolinian.
And I forget where his parents are from originally, but...
Why do you guys think I added my country twang to it?
Ooh.
I'm setting you up.
Very deep.
Damn.
A lot of layers to this.
Nationalism, man.
I guess the other thing that kind of goes along with that is later on, whenever Tom is talking to Justin, he's trying to dig out information about India to make it sound like he really, like, he's going along with her little racist ploy.
Yeah.
And he goes back into the bedroom to research more about India because of, he hasn't been there since he was 8 and he only played video games.
That was great.
All day.
That was great.
Yeah.
I feel like that's his true life coming out, man. Yeah. I know he was, like, good, like, real good friends with Harris Whittles, who was one of the writers of this episode, I think I saw his name on there. Definitely on the show, who we know they were pretty close, because when Harris Whittles passed away, he was, like, a big, like, you know, public mourner for that guy.
Yeah.
So anyway, not to bring it down, but...
Yeah, Harris Whittles actually wrote one of the episodes from that we watched last week. He wrote Tom's Divorce.
Oh.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
He's a big Aziz supporter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess that Tom's divorce kind of leads into another thing. Why is Wendy at this dinner party?
Wait, pause for 1 second. I wanted to point out, before we just close out Leslie's little racist corner, I don't know if you'll count it, but she said, compared Rana White Stallion to Aziz, or to Tom's... Little brown pony.
Yeah, no, that's, so, that definitely counts.
I count that, yeah.
Okay, all right. So, closing the racist corner. Go on, Wendy.
So, yeah, why was Wendy there? Like, I figured that, I mean, the only contact that they had between Wendy was going to be the fact that she was Tom's wife. But now, that's not a thing. I mean, do they call each other? Do they have
He's still wearing his ring.
Did she come with Ron?
No.
She
sat next to each other, too, which
they
was
did,
also...
Yeah,
I wondered why they did that as well. If Leslie kind of convinced him, like, oh, it's okay, this is your moment to get her back, why is she sitting next to Ron?
and not Tom. Exactly.
Well, also, just why, a great conflict. Why was Leslie not at work on a work day? Oh. Whenever she's, like, setting up for her party. I thought about Isn't that weird?
Because they said the party's supposed to be on a Tuesday.
Yeah. Yeah. And her and Anne are getting the house ready, you know, getting the hoarder out. And we see that it's, like, a work day, you know. You
can take the day.
You can't do that. It's super weird that she would. Clean up
a hoarder house in a day.
You can if you have community center rec teachers helping.
People motivated by their paycheck.
What's all their they name? Did. Organize your life. With
all they did was just move it into the garage.
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah. Let's move right back in after the party. You should see
her backyard, you know, just full of crap.
I love Andy describing Justin in this episode. I forgot to mention that. Where he's like, he's super annoying, and he's always like, ooh, I met the king of China, and I walked the Berlin Wall. And then he goes, really? What instruments do you play? I love that he's being super petty about being this shitty, shitty bar band.
And then it turns out that he plays
the keyboard.
Yeah, and then
he's a great keyboardist.
He's a pretty sick keyboardist, or whatever he says. Like, God, he's so childish. I love Andy.
Speaking of Andy, though, like, is it super weird that Leslie asked him to, like, be the help? Like, it kind of puts Andy on a different level.
It is, especially because his ex-girlfriend and her boyfriend, who he clearly is at odds with.
And then the guy that she is, like,
She pretty much puts everybody in a bad situation just to impress Justin, which I guess could be the story, pretty much.
Yeah.
But it seems like uncharacteristically thoughtless.
Mm-hmm. And Donna and Jerry weren't there at the dinner party because they didn't get an invite. They're not.
Oh, I love that moment when they're just like, don't tell Jerry. And then Jerry walks in like, what are you guys talking about? And they're like, oh,
nothing.
That's another moment.
Go away, Jerry.
I feel like Donna probably wouldn't have come.
Yeah. That was my thought, too. It's like, she probably has something much more interesting to do. Maybe go back to Venezuela.
She did very well there.
Who knows? She did do very well. Tom also says that the town is like 8 years or 10 years in the past or something. He's like, people here are just finding out about Nirvana, and I can't stand thinking about telling them what happens to Kurt Cobain in 91 or whatever he says. I fear
94, I believe.
Whatever.
God, get your death year right.
Oh my God, 27 right. Club.
Now it's the 69 Club.
What?
Because of David Bowie and Alan Rickman.
Oh, yeah,
both died at 69.
They're both pretty sexy dudes.
Well, 69 when they died.
I bet they were.
So cut the act.
69ing at 69?
Yeah, now we're going to get an explicit rating.
Dude, you just wrote yourself a porn.
I did.
Ooh,
so proud
produce,
of you.
Man, direct.
This is my in.
Yeah.
Brad, I'm not going to watch that.
69.
Oh, man, should I tell
a lot of low angles. Yes, you should. You should definitely.
Low angles are the worst.
Our friend Justin has like
an
amazingly like low key Orlando bachelor party. We went to medieval times and shit, and mostly just sat around. We were like right in college, like fresh out of high school, I think. Mm-hmm. So we were all pretty timid, and so we kind of just hung out in the hotel room for a while, and there was, like, Spice Channels and shit, and we were just looking through, laughing at the titles, and one of them was like, do you remember the name of it?
No.
It was some, like, geriatric porn. Yeah. And Brad's like, I'm going to buy it.
We said,
what? And he goes, yeah, I'm buying it. And he bought the fucking granny porn.
You bought the granny porn? Fair,
I did not. No, that was
I thought
Drew,
you did.
That was Drew Dwight.
Oh, Drew Dwight bought the granny porn.
Who you know from our previous episode.
You're calling him out.
Drew won't embarrass him. He would own it.
That went on my credit card.
That's what it was. You was technically like, paid for that. You paid for that on paper.
Did he ever pay you back?
Yes, he did.
Oh, that's good.
He's a pragmatic man.
He
paid for his granny porn like a man.
Like a Lannister. Cool.
Lannister who's into old ladies.
Drew Lannister.
And we watched that shit for a few minutes, and then we're like, the novelty's worn off. It's not funny.
It's just weird. A bunch of dudes watching Grand Porn.
The conversations are better than the sex.
I think my favorite part of that
cancer again.
A friend of ours who was with us, who was fairly straight-laced at the time, he decided that he did not want to watch this at all and went and sat in the bathroom. The whole time.
What? Who is this? We'll bleep it out.
This
Oh, I'm not surprised with that at all.
It was like I gotta stand up for myself here. I gotta say no to these sinful things that are happening at this bachelor party. And it amounted to watching a few minutes of an old woman getting drilled. It was unpleasant and hilarious. And that's it.
Old women and drills should not ever be put in the same sentence.
Hey, old ladies can do what they want with their
Hey, program. Everybody needs love.
Yeah.
True.
And they need home improvement.
Don't make me sound like granny haters.
Granny hater, hashtag granny hater.
What did your grandma ever do to you?
Nothing.
I don't really want to know.
This is not a legal courtroom.
So I'm just going to move right along with that one. Let's just... go to Tom.
I had no segues.
Exfoliating too much.
You've already used two of them, so
he's got to refoliate.
And April says that it feels like raw chicken.
Raw chicken.
That's so wet and cold and disgusting. How did it get to that point?
Did he like overfoliate?
How do you refoliate? Like, what do you? You just like
it's the opposite of exfoliation.
Yeah. He goes washing it off. I don't know. I didn't want to talk about it too much. I just thought it was weird.
Too bad.
At one point, they shook somebody's hand. Was it
John Ralphio?
John Ralphio. Okay, it was the last episode. But John Ralphio went in and shook Ron's hand and did not clasp at all. Just let Ron grab his open hand.
I hate, like, soft, non-strong handshakes. Like,
baby shit handshakes?
Yeah.
I've recently gotten really self-conscious because, like, we keep... I keep meeting new people because of, like, people from, like, Brad's work or something at a bar, and I'm holding a cold beer, and they always go for, you know, like, the hand that you're holding the beer in,
and
I'm just
wet.
Like, oh, my hand's, like, all wet and cold, and so I'm just like,
It's better than, like, That's getting a limp meet, hand.
Like, lean down and meet their hand with your face.
You're welcome to meet me.
That would be the most
I know you.
Amazingly awkward thing.
Just go for the high five. Like,
no, I'll just do the awkward thing of just like kind of going for a hug instead, but you just kind of like bounce around
we're
a little
just
bit
dancing.
Like.
That's when you do the fist bump. You just go right.
It's the Howie Mandel, as we call it.
Ew.
That's real
awkward.
The Howie
Mandel.
The awkward.
That's actually a way to make it more awkward.
Yeah, I tend to do that anyway.
Somebody goes out
with
a handshake, just fist bump.
I'm really awkward with new people that I don't, like, people that I don't know are meeting for the first time. I'm just like, weather.
Speaking of awkward, we get to meet one of the recreation teachers named
Can we get his name?
Barney.
Barney!
His name is Barney.
Yep.
He's
that
the
later.
Accountant. Yeah. We know him later. He's pretty great.
Yeah.
I was not sold on him.
His real life name is John Balma. I have a little research about him.
Oh, man.
His real life name that was given to him in real life was John Balma. And he previously played the customer on Gilmore Girls in 2003, I think it was. Maybe. I didn't look at the thing, but he was on Gilmore Girls, so I thought that you would like that, Stephanie.
Look up
that
episode.
The best thing about John Balma is his IMDb synopsis about his life. It is, it reads, John was raised to be a cowboy, but fled his family's horse-drawn dreams and headed to San Fran to pursue theater, which is like the most intense IMDb biography that I've ever read in my life.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I'm going to report back on that to see. I'm going to find the episode he was in and watch it and see if he is as awkwardly weird in that as well. Because he looks like, based off of that description of his life, I feel like he is always awkward and weird and just like...
I kind of want to see that guy's headshots. I just wonder where his mind went. He's like, maybe I should get one with a cowboy hat, display my roots a little bit. thinking of this guy getting a glamour shot in a cowboy hat is driving me crazy.
With an American flag in the background?
Yeah, yeah.
Confederate.
Yeah. Quality.
Get it right.
Oh, shit.
Oh, Lord.
Go Donald Trump.
It's the old West.
Last year he was like, oh, I gotta get new headshots.
There's no accounting for taste. Yeah, he does show up. Like, all the people that help her, that's a pretty solid party that she ends up having.
Yeah.
Because of all the help from the teachers or whatever who think they're getting special treatment.
She just makes it so awkward. Yeah. Like, just herself.
There's a belly dancer there.
Yeah.
Yeah. How weird is that to just sit around and watch a belly dancer in somebody's house. I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird when you're at a belly dancing restaurant, so I can't imagine how weird it would be in your house.
Oh, it's so weird at a restaurant, because they're all just, you're just sitting there, like, eating or drinking or like, don't something, make eye contact. They're just, like, right by you, and you're just, like,
doing their little clasps in your ear, like, ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding. I support it. Like, I know people who do belly dancing, like, as a hobby and are interested in it. I think that's great, and I have no problem with that, and if I was a belly dancer, I would be all about it, and that's fine. But when I am for like when I'm in a situation where I have to watch the proceedings, it makes me feel uncomfortable because there is money involved in most cases. Maybe not in their dinner party, but in like at restaurants and stuff, you're expected to tip if they give you a good show or whatever by putting dollar bills in their little like belt slip, and that is too stripperish for me, and I get super uncomfortable around stripper situations, which I avoid them at all costs. So, like, but I would almost rather call it that.
How many times have you been like tricked, where it's like, "Hey, Andy, we're going to the restaurant. Psych,
gotcha, strippers."
No, I've been to strip clubs like twice. That's my extent.
Take you to the Glitter Factory sometime,
dude. I don't want anything at the Glitter Factory.
They have a complimentary breakfast.
Fucking breakfast, man. not at a strip club. That shit's like the scrambled best and sweat.
In town. Oh, God. Oh,
and this is a Glitter Factory. So many glitter bombs at the thing.
Yeah, like especially the fact that it's a house party, you know, just kind of low key dinner thing. It's strange. Mm-hmm. Like I would expect like the orgy to happen after that. Or something.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'll be the first.
Part of the episode.
I think the two things that I thought was kind of cool as an entertainment that she did bring in was the caricaturist. That's kind of cool.
That.
Yeah, it's really quick. Right after the belly dancer, they show fencing a caricaturist, but it's literally just her like turning it around, like ha! Like I drew those of you, and then they're fencing, which I feel like those two are kind of cool for
those
you to just
cool.
be like doing.
And the bartender thing—that's not really an entertainment thing, but like, you have a good bartender at your like house party. That's pretty nice.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
Yeah, and Ron approves.
Yeah. Made a mean Manhattan.
Even Tanya, Sue Salads, apparently known at this time as Tanya, was in in the proceedings making the food.
Sue Salads.
It's weird that they changed her name.
Very. Maybe Tanya's her middle name.
Sue Tanya Salad.
Yep.
Is her last name Salads?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not. There's no way.
So one of my favorite moments of this episode is whenever Tom starts to basically compete with Ron, and they Ron asks if the peppers on the plate are for eating, and he eats one, and then Tom feels like he needs to try it.
It's very hot.
This is how you eat it.
That's one of my favorite Tom quotes
in the entire world.
Yes, I seriously try to like incorporate that. All the time
in your daily life.
Yes,
it's good that you're. It's good that you're taking these holy scripts and making them your own.
One of the things that Brad and I do is that we just like whenever we're doing something, if he doesn't want to, he'll just like create a song about it. So one of the things that always makes me laugh is that Peaches song. What were you? What did you say the other day? It was like about the dishes. We were just like. Put the plates away.
Oh,
put the plates away.
Oh, yeah.
We always did that one, and then,
That was in reference to fuck the pain away?
The peaches. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So it's just one of those stupid things that we do. Or like the Robin Sparkles thing that we were joking around the other day.
Let's go do the yard.
Yeah, we'll do that one too. Yeah. So, just a little
insight on our
lives.
I only
sing when I'm happy.
Oh,
no, we sing when we have to do
chores. You're only happy when it rains. Sad.
It's a mad world. Now we're playing improv games. Let's move on.
Speaking of which, really quick, when we went to Hourglass the other night, there was an improv group, and they were not that great. But then when we were outside on the patio having a beer, the improv group came out and, like, proceeded to talk about, like, what they did good and, like, what they could do better. And it was a really awkward conversation to listen to.
Oh, no.
Really uncomfortable.
I happened, like, this week also onto some improvers as well at the Rain Dogs.
Oh, I heard about that. My friend Jess went to it. She said it was a little bit uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah, because it's a tiny room. It's uncomfortable in that everybody wants it to be great.
Yeah.
And it's okay.
Yeah.
And it's just like, Yeah, I don't know how to...
What's with the, like, weird boom of improv groups, like, popping up in Jacksonville?
You know, I just feel like...
It's a lot.
Yeah, I just feel like a lot of displaced artsy kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I mean...
Looking for something to do.
Or maybe now they just
I know people that do it, and they're, like, funny, smart people or whatever. Yeah.
Let's go
But it's hard to be entertaining maybe when there's... people are expecting you to be entertaining.
Right.
Yeah.
It's really hard. Like, for example, podcasting.
Hey, I think we're pretty entertaining.
You guys do better than we do. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
We did it.
That's episode 10. That's a feather in the cap.
Way to leap that 1-inch bar, ladies.
We've done it.
No, this podcast is great. Ours is terrible.
That's not true. Straight chilling is pretty good.
You don't have to charm us to come back here, Andy.
That's true. You're welcome back anytime.
Here we go. This is how Andy worms his way into being the next regular.
Pretty soon we're going to have like 12 regulars on our podcast.
Please do yourself a favor now and do not do that. Don't let me in. Don't let anybody like... Have your guests.
I think our max is going to be 4.
That's good.
Yeah. That would be 3 and a guest.
And a guest.
So.
I love watching movies with a bunch of people, and I love talking about it with a bunch of people, but it's hard to be... It's entertaining with that many people talking at once.
It would be a nightmare. I would forget what I want to say by the time it's, like, my turn to
happens
talk.
Every time.
Or you're talking over each other constantly. It's just like,
Maybe the audience should decide a little bit. Like, if you have suggestions, you want to shoot us an email. Like, you think 3 is good.
Hey, listeners. Great.
Those
people are supposed to care about.
Hey, Chappie there. Why don't you tell us what you think?
We're supposed to care about
your thoughts, old man.
I'm a man of the people.
Old man, don't alienate our viewers.
Look, I thought you guys wanted to steam.
Listen, you little shits. You better email us.
You filthy animals.
Hey, chum.
No, but seriously, improv, sometimes you're just not good at it.
Improv is not a consistent form of comedy. Even, like, the greats have bombed more often than, like, say, a stand-up does.
Because
you get to, like, you don't get to hone it. You just are flying off the seat of your ass. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
And if you're good at it, you know, that's great. But it only takes, like, a few seconds of silence to ruin improv.
What,
you know what I mean? Or, you know, like, the wrong timing or anything.
Well, I feel like the thought process kind of like, I watched Whose Line Is It Anyway once.
Right. I can see a weird looking thing and make it into a thing.
Our improv listeners are literally like burning pictures of us right now.
Where did they get the pictures?
I'm a big supporter of improv. A lot of my favorite comics come out of the improv world. And like, I have no issue with people trying it. And you gotta wet your feet somewhere. But
yeah.
It's also risky. It's risky as a viewer.
It is. And, I mean, you can go to a show that, like, is really terrible with the same group, and then, you know, they'll have another one that's really great.
Right.
That could have just been a, you know, they're only going to be as good as the audience is, really. Because they're counting on a lot of improv groups. They're like, hey, give me a letter. Give me a thing.
Right.
Do me that. Do me that. You know
do
what
me
I mean.
That.
Do me that.
Do me that drink real quick.
Amy Poehler.
Riddle me this.
Amy Poehler did improv. She did.
Yeah.
And she started out in Chicago. She talks about it in her book.
Does,
yes,
yeah.
Please.
Upright Citizens Brigade.
Yep. Yeah. That's exactly right.
All right, well, let's move this train along.
Any final thoughts?
Do you think the MVP should be?
I just
cut you off.
I don't know.
This is a tough one.
Yeah, because not a whole lot of, like, shining examples in this. Maybe Andy. Andy really takes it on the chin.
I'd be kind of pissed if someone asked me to like be the help while everyone else gets to be a dinner party guest.
But he desperately needs money too, so I want to chalk it up to that. But like everything that Leslie does in pursuit of this dinner party kind of is uncharacteristically cold.
Yeah,
and I feel like that's no different. And Andy really takes it on the chin and does makes a good time of it and makes the best of it and does his job to a T. So I guess Andy.
I mean, Andy's he's a good sport throughout the entire thing.
Definitely.
Whenever he's trying to, he's obviously has an issue with Justin, and he doesn't want to, he's trying to be professional, and he doesn't want to, you know, put gum in his pockets, and April does it anyway, being a good friend, but I feel like he's really trying to be professional, and he's moving forward, but other than that,
maybe he should be Barney.
It should be.
MVP Barney.
Because he didn't get another 45 minutes.
What about Sue Tanya salads? Wait, that sounds like you want to sue Tanya's salads.
That's
sue them.
Ooh. Maybe
the MVP should go to the rec center teachers.
Hey, yeah, they rule. Yeah. Especially that belly dancer. Well, hey, I want a belly dancer.
You go, belly dancer.
Wink, wink.
That bartender, though, mean Manhattan.
Pretty sure it was an old-fashioned.
Was it?
It was, no. Man, it was an old-fashioned. I think you're
yeah,
right.
I think
I
was,
don't remember.
It had a cherry in it. Does Manhattan have a cherry in it, too?
Yes,
they do.
Damn. Could have been either one.
It could have been either one.
Drinks, you're so confusing. You all look
Does Ron Swanson drink Manhattans?
I would assume so. It's like
if it has whiskey, he'll drink it.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's a pretty tricky man. I don't know if that's necessarily true.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going on the record as rec center teachers.
All right.
I'm going outside of the normal group. Because of, I mean,
damn.
They're all freaking out that they're going to drop 5 classes over 1,000 books. So
yeah, that's kind of weird. Like $1,000 was the thing that saves the 5 rec center classes.
Yeah.
Like, that's
she,
all...
had to, she had to pull it out of her own pocket because government spending.
It's true. It just doesn't seem like that much money to like you're going to lose 5 classes unless you pay $1,000.
Man, so
I feel like the rec center teachers.
Yeah, you could have had like a bake sale.
like a fundraiser, or the rec center teachers could have been like, if that's all we need, let's all put our money in together. They'd pay like $100 each.
Car wash.
Yeah, rec center car wash. That was what I was going to say.
Yeah.
So, anybody else? Anybody else got a competing MVP?
I mean, I don't think anybody really stood out in this episode either. I would throw my cast with Andy.
Andy. All
right. For Andy.
Andy.
I wrote no one as an MVP this time because, I mean, I was looking for you guys to persuade me. But just to make it interesting so we can have a 2-2, I'll say Parks Recreation Center teachers.
Yeah.
We have to.
We're going to put a... God. Yeah.
And
you
we're
know why
sure.
Can't jump. That's not fair to me or Brad.
White women, though.
White women.
Brad's the tallest one. You guys are taller than us. You're closer.
And you know my proclivity with a basketball is like so high.
Amazing.
I know how to play.
If our viewers need to know anything about Andy, is that he is MVP of basketball because that's sports terms, right?
Yeah, yep. I'm MVP of basketballs, and I'm 9 feet tall, and. I smell like roses.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And basketballs.
Because you play with them so often.
I play with them so often in the rose patch. That's where you basketball, right?
I think so, right?
Yes.
Exactly. That is very correct.
But
the basketball store?
Basketball store, yeah.
All right, so how do we do
that? You just have to have a good pair of kicks, right?
Yeah. It's more of a fashion.
Okay. I'm going to the basketball.
All right, so I would say we do this like the NFL playoffs, which are happening right now.
In all sports.
So you play one person, I play one person, and the winners of those two play each other.
Oh!
What loser gets a concussion.
Okay, all right. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
On shoot?
Yeah, rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Are we doing it best out of three? I'm so confused.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
No! Wait, so y'all both won! Wait, is it out of three?
Is it out of three?
Oh, shit.
We only did that because we kept putting the same thing.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So,
won, and you won, so Andy wins MVP.
All right, Andy.
Two papers slapping.
I'm sorry, Tammy. I never win.
It's all right. Just bringing me down. My winning streak is over.
We did it.
Yeah. Well,
we've defeated
can blame
her.
Andy for that.
Ugh. What?
Stupid old Andy. Not Gattis. Dwyer.
Don't say that about Andy Dwyer.
No,
I know. Say how can I ever say that? I love him so much.
So you're the representative of Andy's everywhere, right?
I'm from the Andy Consulate.
Andy Consulate.
This is our Andy Ambassador over
our
here.
Our representative.
Yeah. Ambassador Griffith sitting right. Over here.
Ambassador Andy, how would you rate this episode?
This is not my favorite episode. It's never really been my favorite episode. I like the premise. There are some good gags. Like, very few episodes of the show leave me, like, not upset, but none of them leave me upset. But, like, this is one that doesn't... I can take it or leave it kind of thing. So I would give it a 2. I think that's fair.
Yeah, I think that's fair, too.
2 what?
I'm sorry. I forgot there's a thing that I gotta do. I give it a 2 Nirvanas out of 5.
I'm gonna go with... Andy's 2 and give it a 2 as well. I share the same affinity for this episode. It's not great, but it's not terrible. So I'll do a 2 out of 5 double birdhouses.
There you go.
Hey-o.
So yeah. Like 4 birdhouses? Or just
well, what if four birds come along?
You said two double bird houses.
Yeah, what if that's birds come along? Two. I need four.
So it's like...
that's eight. That was like a magic man, trick. Guys.
The god illusion. I like how you were doing it, and then you just...
I hope that magic plays on the radio.
Our listeners can't see it.
I agree. This has never been one of my favorite episodes. The only thing that I really like about this episode is Tom's This Is How You Eat It. So, because I'm not that big of a Justin fan, even though they're all trying to impress him, it's just, he's okay. Yeah. I don't like people that always one-up and tell big fish stories and think that they're the shit, but whatever.
Yeah.
So,
true.
I gave this one a 2.5 out of 5, plates of deviled eggs.
Ron Swanson. Well, so...
Oh, and going with the deviled eggs thing, I really wanted to see him eat the eggs, but you never see him eat them, do you?
I really wanted to eat the eggs.
Yeah, they look pretty good.
I ate eggs.
I think you could have done it, though.
You would get, like, the little deviled part in his mustache.
Oh, man. There's a whole egg just resting on his cheek.
It's just a struggle. Do I have something on my face? Like, just a deviled egg?
Maybe he just didn't use them to eat. He used them to, like, throw later. He doesn't just egg houses. At he Justin. Deviled eggs houses.
Deviled eggs. Ooh. Mm-hmm. That includes mayo. That's cruel.
Mm. All right. Brad, go.
I would have to give this episode 3 out of 5 fish that resemble Marlene Griggs. Nope.
I'm very glad you said that.
Because they look very withholding.
She also has a huge poster of her mom in her house, like or like a canvas painting.
I
did y'all
that.
See that?
Yeah,
it was like
it's
an oil painting.
It's like the small picture she has in her office of her mom, like in front of the flag. She's got like a huge canvas painting of it in her house.
And she's got weird, like science module, like teaching.
Yeah,
you know what though?
It's strange.
It could have been the poster from the ceremony when her mom was honored, just like a example of her hoarding.
I want to say it was, but then you're right. She had like this weird double helix, like
yeah, like ionic
DNA
just molecule,
yeah.
Thing that I don't know why
well,
she's ever has that.
She's definitely a hoarder. I don't know if it's a symptom of her job necessarily. It's just a symptom of her finding importance in everything. Like the first thing that they pull out as an example of her hoarding is Anne picks up a newspaper that says, and she's like, "This is from '91 or something." She goes, "Oh, first rumblings of Iran Contra." Oh,
but anyways,
famous conflict.
3 out of 5. I mean, I wasn't too crazy about it. I thought that Leslie kind of disappointed me in this episode just because she's very, you know, self-centered and uses a lot of people. Yeah, and that kind of, you know, rubbed me the wrong way, personally.
Sad.
Fair enough. Is this the first mention of Mayor Gunderson's dog, by the way?
Rufus. Think so?
Yeah.
I guess it is.
They briefly mention it and Leslie makes them all shut up.
Yeah, I actually meant to mention that I really wanted to hear the rest of that story.
Mayor Gunderson's dog, I believe they mention it whenever they're doing that Pawnee, year in review thing.
Yeah,
so it is a running thing where they basically make fun of
the
everything.
The Follies thing. Yeah.
It's like something that they bring up that only makes sense in their world, and I kind of like it for that. It's like, I kind of want to know what happened. But I feel like knowing would ruin the pleasure of being like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah. They tend to do that a lot where there's like inside jokes, but they don't give you what this is really about. It's a nice little wink it's a nice little nod to like, this could be real, like a real documentary. You know?
Mayor Walter Gunderson himself is an enigma in this whole series.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't believe we ever see him.
It adds depth to the world of Pawnee.
It does. Depth. This show, like, it's been compared to The Simpsons for its character depth for like the city, and I think that's perfectly apt.
Yeah,
because
like
the fact that we know Barney's name is insane. Nobody knows like that, like an extra character like that's name in like fucking How You Met Your Mother or whatever.
Yeah,
like nobody knows that tertiary character, but they so lovingly craft these bizarre weirdos,
and they pay attention to them. Like they when they reoccur. They pay attention to how they were in the previous episodes. Like,
Except
Kyle.
Tom,
yeah.
How, yeah, that might be a slip there.
Yeah.
But, like, even Kyle, that he kind of fills in, you know, Lawrence's role of Lawrence being, like, his nemesis. And then they keep track of Kyle as always this, like, little, you know, this little man that he, like, bosses around, that he just shines his shoes. Like, that's the only purpose
or
of Kyle.
Or his butt, apparently.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Or his butt.
Oh, you're good.
So, like, I really like that they pay attention. Or every time Lawrence was complaining in the previous episodes, do you remember who he is?
I remember...
he's the one in, like, there's a episode where he steals his Andy's radio and Andy chases after him.
Well, he's naked in the kiddie pool.
In a kiddie pool.
Taking a bath when
it is seriously...
No,
it's one of the best scenes.
Yeah, like, we had to rewatch it because we couldn't stop laughing.
Do you think you'd be able to do a backwards roll naked, though, out of a pool with your legs broken?
I can do one of those.
If you're Chris Pratt.
Totally.
Try.
Yeah.
And tried and succeeded.
I've done it.
Any last thoughts about this episode?
No.
That was very, very definitive there.
Thank you.
I don't know. Little brown pony. Yeah.
Little brown pony.
the last thing that I wanted to mention was the picture of Dave is gone in Leslie's office.
Was it?
Yeah.
It's time to put away childish things. Or to put them in her house, maybe.
Do you think she returned it?
No, she put it in her home somewhere.
Yeah, it's somewhere.
Guaranteed.
I was hoping that, like, the final scene, when they kind of show the end credits, would be Justin getting his hand stuck in gum in his pocket.
Yeah.
That was referenced so much in the episode, and then it never really happened.
Well, and you see him after that with his jacket on.
So right, so you're just like, oh, yeah.
Even if it had just been, like, right at the very end, he was just like, just looked down in his pocket, and that was it.
Yeah.
There's a ton of gum in my car.
Damn it, producers, creators, writers.
You should have done it. Who says that there's not a deleted scene, though?
True that.
There might be a deleted scene. There could be.
Might be. I like to think that.
We'll never know.
We don't know.
Mm. Oh, and Ron answering every question with a question. Now I'm done. That's the last thing I
want to
say.
That has been mentioned now.
Yes, I just had to throw it out there.
Wait.
Acknowledgement.
Another thing. So whenever they were mentioning how many courses were going to be at this dinner, I love how Ron just kind of is like, wait, three? I'm not going to go to a dinner with three courses. And he does his, like, weird moan thing again.
Yes.
That I immediately went back to him having his bunion shine.
He was hardballing her. He was hardballing her. And then that wasn't enough. He also needed fridge space for
his
own deviled eggs for no one else. That man has an appetite.
Mm-hmm.
So, Brad, what are you watching?
Well, oh, man, what am I watching right now?
A whole lot of nothing.
Really? I'm not watching a whole lot.
All right, Stephanie, what are you watching? I'm just kidding.
No.
I need some time. I was put on the spot.
You can think of something. Think of something. Rapid fire. Go.
Go.
Think of something. Go.
Right now.
Go. Go.
Did it.
Go.
Hi.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
All right. Andy.
I've been watching.
What are you watching, Andy?
Television-wise, not a lot. I jumped in and out of Making a Murder as my roommate was watching it, and that was interesting enough. I don't have a stance before anybody asks. I'm just like, okay, this is something I've watched.
Right.
That's
kind of where I'm at.
But then, aside from that, I've been watching a lot of like weird 80s horror flicks with Rob.
Straight chilling.
Straight chilling. That's with a G, people. I guess I would recommend, this is not one of those movies, but me and my girlfriend Becky watched Black Swan again recently, and I fucking love that movie.
It's so good.
It's a great fucking movie.
It is.
Natalie Portman slays that whole goddamn
movie. She slays it like a fucking dragon.
Oh, man.
Was that your John Ralphio impersonation?
Yep.
It's amazing. Classical
I do amazing ones when I'm really trying, so just watch out.
So yeah, I guess I'll recommend that and Motel Hell.
So, Motel Hell.
Yeah.
All right.
Look for it on Blu-ray displays.
Coming
in
to
your
you. In a neighborhood near you.
Yeah. I'm holding this beer like I have anything to drink in it. I don't.
Impulse.
Tammy?
I've been catching up on CSI Miami. Oh, God. Surprise, surprise. Horatio Caine, my favorite person in the whole world.
Tyler's slowly manipulating you.
No.
It's like, I am watching it out of my own free will, okay? And I like it.
I don't.
Is he the redheaded dude, or is
he is. He is the redheaded dude.
Horatio. It's not David Caruso?
It is David Caruso. Oh, that is his real name.
Okay.
Horatio Caine's his name in the show. Oh. Detective Horatio
Caine. I liked him
Caine.
In Session 9.
Right.
Where he goes, fuck you. Like that, and it's the funniest goddamn line read.
Did he have dark sunglasses that he wore all the time?
No, no. He was an HVAC guy.
I'll have to watch that. And then I started watching randomly while I was doing laundry the other day, Death Row Stories, which are about, so far all the episodes I've watched have been about death row exonerations, kind of something I fell into after Making a Murderer. And I've always just been curious about serial killers in general.
Okay.
And that's it for me.
So, we haven't, since we finished watching Fargo season one, which was a lot to swallow there, we should be starting to watch Fargo season two tonight, so I'm very excited about that.
If we can find.
If we can find it. Wait, we can locate it. So other than that, I haven't been really watching a whole lot of TV, but I talked about last week, Ex Machina the movie. I want to talk about Ex Machina the book. There's a graphic novel by Brian K. Vaughan, who's one of, my favorite comic writers. He writes a lot of really great stuff, but one of the thing about Ex Machina, it's not related to the movie at all. It's a completely different concept. But it's about this guy that is almost a superhero thing. And it's about this guy, he goes through an accident and he can talk to, like, machines. Like, he can communicate with, like, a street lamp and just be, like, you know, dim lights. Or he can, like, if somebody's after him with a gun, he can, you know, say, like, disengage or disarm or something like that. And it'll just, like, fall apart and say that.
He's the Aquaman, like, of technology.
Yeah, that's exactly what people have kind of described it as. The thing is that just, like, reading a description, it sounds kind of lame. It doesn't sound really that interesting to me, but it's very, very well written, and it's a really cool story. Like, if I give you any more information, it's definitely going to take away from it. But the whole thing is he's going back and telling a story about him being the mayor of New York City. So he's kind of recalling, like, whenever
he was mayor?
Yeah. It kind of recalls, like, when he was a superhero.
Got a lot going on in his life.
Is this the secret life of Rudy Giuliani?
Yeah. I was just thinking about that.
It's set right after 9/11. So it doesn't sound, it sounds crazy and weird, but it's really, really good.
Like, of all mayors, he would have been the one to prevent that.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting. I definitely recommend reading it. I just finished the first book. There are five. It is a completed series. They're done with it. So something good to pick up.
Awesome.
There you go.
I do have something now. So, lately, we have been finding ourselves playing a game called Dark Stories a lot more often. It's pretty fun. It's just kind of a little small game you can play at the bar or, you know, wherever you're at. But it's a card game that's based on these really weird situations. Like, most of them involve deaths, where you have a narrator who, you know, reads off just this one sentence, brief little synopsis of what happened in this situation. Everybody else kind of asks yes or no questions to try to figure out what the actual details are of the game. This, for an example, one of them involves what was the actual synopsis for it? It was a man gets out of his car and
a man gets out of a vehicle and commits suicide.
But it turns out that the guy was a farmer running a combine at the time, and he hit something and got out and checked to see what it was, and his kids were playing in a cornfield that he ran over them and killed them, and then he committed suicide. So
Dark Stories.
Pretty dark.
Some of them are not that.
Five stars!
Some of them are not that.
Thanks, Chappy.
Some of them are just kind of like a weird, like a riddle almost. Like you just have to figure it out. Like
or a play on words.
Yeah. Kind of. It doesn't always, it's not always a death. But it's a really, it's a fun game.
So it should just be renamed Stories.
Mostly Dark. Stories, Mostly Dark. So, thank you so much for listening. You can email us at podsandrec@gmail.com. That's podsandrec@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and I think that's it, right?
Yeah, that's it for now.
At Pods and Rec.
At Twitter.
I also accidentally signed up for Periscope the other day, so maybe we'll just do some live stuff sometimes.
What? I just found out what Periscope is.
I know, it's so confusing to me.
Weird feeling. I don't know if I really like Periscope. That's for another time, though.
We know why.
Andy, do you want anybody to follow you anywhere? Your stuff, we do.
Sure, please follow me home.
please give Andy money.
I have a
money.
Twitter that I'm occasionally looking at now. It's at Andy Gaddis, and I have an online portfolio.
Yeah, you do. Andy's pretty talented.
It's old as
designer.
Shit, and I haven't updated it in forever, so I'm sorry. And I'm on a podcast called Straight Chilling, which is fun for us and probably terrible for you. So listen to that if you want, at least subscribe.
Subscribe. Give him a good rating.
Don't be a dick.
Your face is so mad. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast. We hope you had a good time.
I did. I enjoyed myself.
You're a very wonderful guest, full of enthusiasm and brightness and
or something. I don't know.
And joy. Just jovial. Fantastic. Well. We'll see you kids later, fuckers.
Bye.
Do you guys have a sign off?
No, that's the sign off.
Take a hike, Jerry.
Take a hike, Jerry.
Damn it, Jerry.